All right, welcome back to the latest and the greatest of the Blue Brothers Sportscast. Real talk, real fans, we bring you Michigan football each and every week. I'm Caleb, and with me as always is Craig. And football to talk about this week, and of course, basketball to touch on. But, you know, I thought that you may think that there was something special that shook the world in Michigan basketball. But I don't know. We might have something to rival that here with the show, because our very own Blue Bro Craig was posted on by the Washington Post. Am I not mistaken?
You are right. How about that?
Yeah. What is this? I thought, like, you know, Jordan Poole was going to be the big topic, but I don't know, man. Craig might be the bigger topic here.
Well, you know, it was really weird because I was actually homesick that day. And, you know, I'm sitting there and I just get this tweet in the morning. And it was a direct tweet, I guess, or a direct message from Washington Post just pretty much announcing that, hey, we use one of your tweets in our one of our, you know, or the Washington Post used one of your tweets. And I'm like, wait, what? Went to check it out. And, yeah, there it is. So,
yeah, no, which that was, I can't remember it now offhand, and I don't have it in front of me. What game was it about? I can't remember.
Well, you know, obviously being sick, I was able to watch quite a few of those games, and, you know, a lot of them, yeah, pretty amazing games. It all came down to the wire, overtime, or from last shot. And it was the Xavier game against Nevada. And I thought for sure that Xavier is going to take that game, and because Nevada's been kind of playing this come from behind team, and sure enough, Xavier is losing it, and they came down to the shot. One of their seniors had a wide open shot from the 3-point line, dead center, and I, while observing, and obviously the great, having a DVR, having a video recorder on your TV is always a great thing, isn't it, when you're in social media? So I saw the shot and was kind of puzzled. It was at a different angle, but I saw it and I went, wow, that shot didn't even come close to even hitting the rim. In fact,
I remember that one now.
It was like you couldn't get as wide open as that guy did. No one around him. 3-point, I believe, to tie it. Didn't even get close, so I videotaped it and said, you know, it kind of sucks when you're senior and your last shot to win the game or to tie the game not only misses but doesn't even come close. It was just maybe a 8-second video clip of it, and you can see it on the Washington Post, and yeah, they used it, and I thought that was kind of weird. And usually you get, you know, any kind of things go a little bit viral, and you and I have had tweets where we kind of say something and it kind of gets legs. You know what I mean? And kind of takes legs and then, you know, kind of goes viral a little bit. And one, you know, you get a retweet after that, and then it just kind of snowballs after that. But this one didn't get very many, but they – and I'm wondering if the Washington Post at that time was just searching for something, you know, that was a little bit different and not just a tweet. Maybe they were looking for something a lot of people didn't have out there, and I think that's probably why they gravitated towards mine, because mine did have the last second shot. And that shot wasn't really in very close, and it was by a senior. So,
yeah, yours was one in a million, Craig.
Yeah. So, yeah, well, interesting. I mean, I'm somebody, I guess, right?
Yeah. Well, congratulations. You're on your way somewhere, and we're just here left in the dust. So,
I'm like, where's my money?
Well, we'll definitely be talking more about basketball because there's plenty to discuss with that. But every week we do not fail to discuss football. And there has been some changes, some things that came up here in the past week, even though basketball has taken the forefront. I'll go ahead and mention a couple things here that I don't think that we mentioned this before. We talked about the spring practices and things like that, but things officially get kicked off this Friday for spring football practice. And then, of course, the spring game is Saturday, April 14th, We did not mention, however, that it's a night game, so it's going to be at 7 p.m., and the gates open at 5. New information to me, I don't know how many of you are aware of this, but they have a tentative starting time of 5:20 for the first episode of the Wolverine docuseries from the Amazon Prime Video for their 2017 season. That is set to start at 5:20 p.m. that night. So if you're going and you were thinking, oh, I'll be there at 7, you might want to show up a little bit early and maybe try to get a chance to watch that.
I believe it's the All or Nothing.
Yeah, that's the title, All or Nothing, yeah.
Yeah, so that's, yeah, it's quite interesting news to know that they're going to do that, but kind of cool.
Yeah, so. If you haven't seen the preview or the trailer for it, it looks amazing.
Yeah, it does. It gets you pumped and hyped, doesn't it? I mean, it looks like very Hollywood-esque, man. Get you just fired up, ready for the season, man.
Yeah, and I've seen some people say different things about, oh, well, it's going to be great, or other teams and other fans are going to use it as trolling material. And I'm just kind of like, my thought automatically goes to this is the proving time. Like, this is the time, because everything, honestly, since Harbaugh got here, everything was going pretty, the record against rivals, not that great and everything, but 2-10-3 seasons back-to-back, you know, things are going pretty good, good recruiting classes, things are looking really good. We were expecting a decent 2017 season, and it fell quite short of that. So this is the proving time, and so it's just kind of another one of those things where if you can't stand the heat, then you might want to get out of the kitchen, because it's just like, it's put up or shut up. And, you know, your strength is not proven. A person's strength is not proven when things are easy and when they're successful. Their strength is proven when they're facing adversity and going through obstacles. And that's exactly what's going on right now. Michigan has dealt with that for years, yes. But the first 2 years of Harbaugh being here, not as much. I mean, things were looking really good. Everybody was pumped up. Everybody was excited. Now it's back to that adversity. And so this is where the strength comes out, because this is their opportunity. I don't care what they say. I don't care what the rivals say or what anybody else says. It's going to be exciting. It's going to be great to see. And I think the content's going to be awesome.
Yeah, I do too. I think it kind of gives you a realistic look at Michigan football and behind the scenes and all the really cool stuff that goes into it. But also, I think it really showcases where Jim Harbaugh and the coaching staff, and like you said, this kind of hunkering down. I mean, we talked about, you know, Jim Harbaugh really hasn't been in the spotlight. Yeah, I can, you know, obviously the trolls and the rival people are going to look at this and say, oh, here's another Michigan thing fluffing themselves, and they haven't done anything. But, you know, I actually think it might showcase exactly why Jim Harbaugh's got a new approach to this year and this, you know, these past months, looking at it and saying, you know what, all this media and getting out there and promoting Michigan, you know, I'll leave it to other people to do that. But me, I think he knows that he needs to hunker down, and this is the make and break season that, you know, that he needs to coach better. I mean, you got to think about it. Jim Harbaugh even mentioned, I'll quote him just saying that he didn't do a very good job at developing quarterbacks and the receivers and offense. So, and I think Jim Harbaugh is going to take that approach. I think he's very serious this year. Not that he wasn't before, but it just seems like he's more of like, I'm going to keep quiet and we're going to have to get this going.
So. Yeah, no, absolutely. I agree. So I'm going to enjoy it. And I'm sure a lot of the fans will. So anybody else can say whatever they want. But yeah, and then some other news with Michigan football. Did you want to touch on the recruiting information, Craig? Or?
Well, we obviously got talking about Cade McNamara, quarterback, committed to Michigan 2019 class, which is really cool. I believe he's also a basketball guy. So big, strong, Four-star quarterback out of Reno, Nevada. He's number nine, I believe, in the country in the pro style passing. So he was committed to Notre Dame, which is really interesting. Committed to Notre Dame, decommits, then comes to Michigan. So that tells you coaching. Yeah, I think Jim Harbaugh did changing things around with the coaching staff and helped get this kid to come to Michigan, and I think it's really going to pay off. I think it's a great pickup for Michigan because he also had offers from Alabama and Georgia. So what's that say? That says a lot. So to get this kid in here and, you know, to keep him, I think we're going to keep him. I think we're talking about this kid threw 9,000 yards and 107 touchdowns in three seasons. That's crazy.
Yeah.
Who throws for 9,000 yards? I don't know if they ran the ball, but dang, man. That's a whole lot of throwing the ball. So that's a great pickup for Michigan and for Michigan's future.
Yeah, I'm excited about it. And definitely going back to what you were saying, it is interesting to see that he decommitted from Notre Dame, whatever the reasons were. I haven't seen or heard any information about that. But, yeah, getting offers from Georgia and Alabama and things like that and then deciding to go to Michigan, that obviously is awesome to pluck somebody out from that group of scholarships, not just because of how those schools have been doing. I mean, we're talking about how well Georgia and Alabama did this year. But then the rivalry school of Notre Dame, and just to kind of add to it and maybe make things even more interesting, considering how 2018 is going to begin with facing off against the Fighting Irish. So,
how about that?
Yeah.
Yep. Very cool.
I'm sure that will just be more bulletin board material for them. So.
Yeah. Yep. So it's a really good kickoff, but yeah, you're right. Get this kid. He also had offers at Southern California and Tennessee and Wisconsin. So all big time schools, all elite caliber colleges that wanted him. So that was a great pickup for Michigan. So.
Yeah, I definitely agree. And we'll be watching that as we move forward. And so hopefully, yep. Hopefully he sticks around and we see him on the sideline and on the field in the future. So outside of that, that's most of the things going on with football. It's just going to be picking up here, like we said, with spring practice officially beginning Friday. But we will be talking about basketball here for a little bit before we close. And we're hoping to be talking about basketball for the next several weeks, because Michigan has made it out of the first weekend of March Madness and is out in L.A. right now preparing for their matchup against Texas A&M. So let's go back and talk about how they got here. So, Craig, wherever you want to pick up, I don't know if you want to talk about the first game at all or just kind of jump into the – main topic of conversation, which would be the Houston game, obviously. So,
well, yeah, and most of the Michigan fans are going to agree with watching those games. Is Michigan's let's put it this way: there's two things at play here. We're winning, we made it, but also Michigan hasn't played their best ball, and that's the big thing. I think. What Michigan fans with this basketball team's got to know is when we're playing good and great, we're almost impossible to beat. it really comes down to that, because if you look at the field of college basketball teams out there, there's not really one out there that stands out that's just dominating everybody. Yeah, you get your Villanovas and your things like that, but you know, you had Virginia go down, which I had picked to win the whole entire thing, which was really dumb on my part, but Duke could win it all. You know, they're not at Duke level, and they're not playing all great, but they're winning. Obviously North Carolina going down and those teams like that, Michigan State losing. So it's kind of open field, but then you got Michigan sitting there and they're in the there's a high seat on the left hand side of the bracket, left, because everybody's going down. And what a perfect time for Michigan to get hot. And this is the time where I look at this, and those two games that Michigan played, the offensive just struggled. Offensive side of the basketball just struggled to score. In fact, I think the past, we've relied on the end of these games to score. Our scoring has come at free throw line. You know, we try to draw the foul and get to the free throw line. That's how we get our 2 points. And we're not really making any shots. And I really think it's going to come down to, especially against Texas A&M, if Mo Wagner's been very silent, you know, and the kid's not been in this game at all. I don't know what's going on with him, but I think Mo's going to have to step it up. And he's definitely going to have to step it up against Texas A&M, who looked like a juggernaut, impressive, beating North Carolina. And to beat a team that Michigan lost to North Carolina, and then Texas A&M just manhandled them. It's going to be tough. So Michigan's going to have to get their offense going. The defense is there. The defense, you know, it's interesting, and sorry if I'm rambling, but Michigan's basketball team reminds me of Michigan's football team. We've won games by the defense, and our offense is sputtered. And to watch these games is very frustrating because we couldn't hit anything. We couldn't make, you know, we're not passing well, and it seems like we're just sitting there on the outside of the three. We're not really moving the ball well, but the past two games have been very a defensive team for wins, and we're still in it, so we just need to get this offense rolling, get a score.
Yeah, no, that's a great comparison to bring up, and great thoughts to mention. I think it worked out really well for them how this tournament started as far as who they faced and everything. And, yeah, Houston, I mean, I know everybody's kind of said their own different things, but Houston, from the eye test and from most of the stats, was the better team that night. They performed better. Michigan, like you were saying, was off offensively. They did a great job defensively to keep themselves in the game. And they were behind most of the game. I didn't see exactly a clock on how much they were behind and everything. But, I mean, it was one of those situations where I wouldn't necessarily felt like there was no hope, but you just felt down because you were like, man, it's gonna take something to get this. When I was watching that, I was just like, this is not feeling great. It's not like we're not gonna do it, but they're not playing like they can do this right now. And it took something extra special there with that last shot to be able to get the win. But yeah, the defense is on, and I think that last shot could potentially be a spark. I know even though it's going to be the long off period before their next game and everything, it might be that spark that kind of gets them going. They've been successful, and I'm not saying that this is the only reason why when they get really successful, but it's the attitude thing that we've talked about. And they didn't really have a lot of that attitude in the first two games. More from what I could see in the Houston game, especially there at the end. And that's like that I feel like lit the fire. And so if they can go into that Texas A&M game, I know a lot of people are kind of worried about it because of how Texas A&M handled North Carolina. But honestly, you know, I don't think North Carolina had a good night, and I'd rather probably play Texas A&M after they had a game like that with North Carolina than if they didn't, because it's hard to repeat that. So right. I think things are all right for Michigan going into that game. They definitely have to play good ball. So they cannot. I'll put it this way. If they play essentially the way that they have the first two games against Texas A&M, they will not win.
No, no.
Yeah.
No, not really. And I think, well, you get to a point where your luck runs out. You can only run on defense so long. And, you know, like you said in that Houston game, heck, you had one guard. The man bun was scoring on us. I mean, the guy would have like double teamed him, and he still was moving that ball and misdirecting, you know, and assisting because all the intention was on him. He knew it. And he was dishing the ball off, and it really threw Michigan off quite a bit during that game. but was able to hang in there. But, you know, what you need is that one player that just gives you that one spark. And if you think about the play that was drawn, I mean, it was just perfect timing. And to get it in Poole's hands, and most people say it's an ugly shot. Well, yeah, it was. But if you think about it, his legs kicking out, he's done that in high school. And so
that's his shot.
That's a shot. And, yeah. You know, people go, why does he shoot like that? And I go, well, you have to remember, is I think he does that. He's trying to draw the foul, too. So he thinks that, you know, if he misses it and he can get his leg up and then, you know, one of the players hits it or something, it's a foul. And he can go to the free throw line. So I think that's why he does that. Makes sense. But, yeah, from the angle we saw from behind, it was a very ugly shot. But how about just, you know, there's one thing to get a shot like that. And Michigan's been on the losing end of those kind of, you know, in the past. Obviously, the Trey Burke one against Kansas was amazing. But, yeah, Michigan is on the – always seems to be on the back end of those when the other team makes a shot and they make it and we are the losers. But, yeah, it's always great to see Michigan get one of those once in a while. So, but you know what? Here I was on the couch, wasn't moving, watching the game, thinking – this game might be pretty much over. And, you know, I didn't move. I didn't really cheer much because I didn't feel good. It was about, what time that game? Like midnight?
Oh, man, it was late.
I know. So I'm watching this game and I'm like, man, I have a cold, I'm sick, and I'm sitting there and that shot goes down and my son's in the same room. And I literally popped up off the couch and was screaming when I was sick. And my wife just walks in and she goes, what are you screaming? I go, nothing. I'm done. It was a quick scream, but I was done. And I almost threw up, but not feeling good. But I had to do it.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. And she came in. She goes, you woke me up. And I'm like thinking, I'm in deep trouble tomorrow with her. But then again, I went, nah, I don't care. That was awesome.
I'll play the sick card. I'm all good.
Right.
Yeah, well, for me,
It's one of those shots you'll know where you were at that time.
Oh, yeah. Well, for me, it's kind of funny and interesting. I don't know if you saw it, but I posted the video. A little side nerd note here. If anyone's familiar, well, a lot of more people are familiar with it now, but if anybody's familiar with what Twitch is, the streaming site and everything, I was actually streaming during the second half, I paused it and left it running, which actually records what you're doing. And I totally didn't even think of it. And so I'm sitting there, and so I stopped it. I'm watching the game on my tablet, and the shot went in. And, of course, yeah, I freaked out. I tweeted it out there and everything. Fortunately, I was in the basement. I didn't wake anybody up or bother anybody. But, yeah, I just – and I remember where I was with the Kansas shot with Trey Burke. We were living in a small apartment and everything, and I was actually trying to put my daughter to sleep at the time. And I was holding her because she was a baby, and I was just like – I was freaking out however I could, like basically like waving my head around because I couldn't really like jump up and down or like move a whole lot because I was holding her and she was trying to fall asleep. So I remember that one too. But yeah, that was an amazing one. I've got two questions here.
Okay.
And I don't know if it'd be kind of interesting because I know you did a little bit with on Twitter, but kind of maybe a little different context here. Okay. So which one do you think was more impressive though? The Trey Burke shot to send overtime for the Kansas game, which I can't – was that the Sweet 16 game or was that the Elite Eight game?
No, yeah, I think that was the – wasn't it that – I think it was in the –
I'll have to look – I'll try to look that up real quick. So, but real quick, which was more impressive, Trey Burke shot or Jordan Poole's shot? Like what would you just say kind of right now was – the bigger, more impressive shot?
Well, it's interesting to bring up that because I did do a poll, and to kind of piggyback off that question, you know, the poll I ran was the same one, and Trey Burke shot won 55% of the vote to Jordan Poole's 45%. So what tells you that either people living in the moment or – you know, they both were interesting. I'm going to pick – wow. They seem to be at the same level. But I'm going to pick the one only – I'm going to pick the Jordan Poole one only because of the very fact it looked like it was much more contested at the time. And it just looked like an ugly shot.
Yeah.
And then it went in. And they really lit – if you think about it, Michigan wasn't playing all well whatsoever. In fact, they couldn't hit really any balls. Like I was talking to you before, all their scoring points, it seemed like, in the past minutes were at the free throw line. And they couldn't hit anything from afar. Mo Wagner was absent. And then you make a shot from that far out, and it's right, perfect, and perfectly laid out there. And Jordan Poole's reaction afterwards is just priceless. So I almost kind of give a little bit of edge to him, even though Burks was highly impressive. I just think it was kind of ugly. There was a guy in his face, and he let it rip. So.
Oh, yeah. No, I got to give you the – I'll give you the jackpot on that because you're thinking exactly what I was because the two – very different feeling games. Michigan in 2013 was in that Kansas game. I think they were down quite often to Kansas in that game as well, but they were competing. Like Michigan, you know, you felt good. I felt good in that game. When Trey Burke took that shot, I was just like, oh, you know, this could be it. I was already ready for it. And you're right, he wasn't contested as much. It was a super deep three, though, too. But that was the thing, is that you felt like, we can do this. When it was the Houston game with Jordan Poole, is I feel like a bunch of people were like, this is over. Yeah, this is over. There's, like, almost no hope. This is more of a miracle or anything. And also, Poole was not playing like Burke was in that Kansas game.
No.
Poole was, gosh, let me even see. I think I have the stats here. Yeah, Poole had 11 minutes, and he had 8 points. So, right. I mean, it's not like he was doing anything impressive. And he went out there, and he made that shot. And it was the very end of, like, it was the closing seconds. The buzzer went off, too. So that also, I think, kind of gives it a bump. Because when Burke made that shot, there was, I think, 4 seconds left. And Kansas went down to try to make it or win it before it went into overtime. So I definitely would agree with you in saying I give it more to Poole, the Poole shot, than the Burke. Not saying that, you know, screw the other one, but just like I feel like Poole shot was more impressive. But now I wasn't sure with your Twitter question if this is what you were putting out there. And so I'll pose this question to you. If you had to have someone take a last second shot for like the next game, like coming up or whatever, would you rather have Trey Burke or Jordan Poole? I thought that's how you were kind of phrasing that, maybe.
What? Right. That's what the quick Twitter question was. If you wanted to take the last shot, I'd probably take Trey Burke, just because experience and he's doing really well in the NBA. But yeah, he was pretty much a fantastic point guard for us. So, but yeah, I'd probably have Burke when, you know. That's the interesting about that poll question. It can go either way. Either you want him to take, you know, which one would you take the last shot, or which one you thought was more impressive. So
That's what I was kind of torn about, because then I would also, like you're saying, switch. If you're saying who would you want to take the last shot, I would go with Trey Burke for the exact same reason, more experience and different things like that. Not to say, I mean, for crying out loud, Jordan Poole's a freshman. So he could be phenomenal next year or 2 years down the road or whatever. So that could change, but kind of where things were like at the time, I would just say Trey Burke over Jordan Poole. But
very great point. I loved your point by saying, I didn't even think about that, is you saying most Michigan fans watching that game against Houston was more than likely saying, you know, you got to pass the ball in, you got to get it in, get somebody open, do a couple more passes and get somebody open. And it's really tough when you had, I think they were doing man to man, and you didn't expect that shot to get off. And in fact, you know, if they would have just thrown, I thought somebody maybe was just going to strong arm it and throw it up and hopefully it went in. But yeah, and if it didn't, we wouldn't have been surprised. But the Burke shot was, he was open, It was a real long three, like you said. And it, like you said, I even thought, man, if he can get his legs under him, if he can get a good jump shot on that, it's going to go in. It could go, I mean, it's got a possibility of going in. And this one, it seemed like it did. It was impossible to go in, and it did. So.
Yeah, and that was the thing, too, with having more time on the clock, too. Like, you didn't know if Burke was going to – you knew he was going to shoot it, but you didn't know if he was going to shoot it right then and everything because he still had a little bit of time on the clock. So there was kind of like that cushion feeling, you know. But with Poole, it was just like, this is it, you know. That's it. You got to get rid of it now. This is end all, be all. Get it out of your hands. Say a prayer when it goes up. So,
yeah. No, all right.
Yeah, no, that was fantastic. A ton of fun. And I was even commenting, you know, and you said it so yourself, and we were not the only ones to say this either. A lot of people were saying it. Is that Michigan's usually on the losing end of things like that. And, yeah, there. What was it? There was the Northwestern game.
Yeah.
That they threw all the way down and got a layup and some stuff like that. So, yeah, it's just – you don't get a lot of experiences like that. Now, of course, I mean, like, there are games then that you just wind up winning by a larger margin and things like that that can be exciting. But, yeah, those last second things where you need luck on – because it was luck. I mean, like, just, like, getting that off in time and everything, there was luck involved.
Right.
And usually when there's luck involved, it seems like Michigan just doesn't have it. So.
Right, you're right. And, you know, tomorrow the Michigan plays the Texas A&M Aggies at 7 o'clock tomorrow night. And I would expect Michigan to go to a more of a zone defense against the Aggies because it causes them a little bit more trouble. But, yeah, I think, you know, if you can get Texas A&M to kind of, like, force them to throw take shots outside – on the perimeter, they seem to struggle. So we want to try to force them to shoot from the outside if we could. But, yeah, it's going to be – I think you're going to see a different Michigan team. I think John Beilein knows that this team won't be able to go as far as they can with this offense, the way they're playing. But he knows that, and he's a smart coach.
Yeah, he's been doing a fantastic job, and he always – no matter how rough the year looks, this time of year he always seems to be able to pull it together and have something positive come from it. So,
yeah, and he had spurts going out, and which is makes it a little bit more interesting for us, because there you got, you know, who they call Izzo Mr. March, and then it's starting to look like Beilein's more Mr. March than Izzo. So,
yeah. But,
which was surprising that they lost too. But, yeah. You know, every year, you know, me living here in East Lansing, you know, you get the Spartan fans who always have they every year they pick them to win it all. Every bracket they show me, I always go, really? Even if their team isn't that great, they still haven't won it at all. And I'm like, well, you guys are loyal. I have to give you that. But, you know, I'm a more realistic fan. Did I have Michigan win it at all? No, I didn't, you know. But I had them going pretty far. And so I'd like to be shocked. You know what I mean? I like to have that shocked feel if Michigan wins the whole entire thing for me to go, you know what? This is awesome.
Yeah.
And I'm shocked, but I'm also just, you know, gleeful, and this is great. So.
Yeah, well, for me, I put down, like, I filled out a ton of brackets, but there's always that one that's like the bracket. And for that one, I put Michigan winning it, because not so much from I know Michigan can do it.
Yeah.
It's not so much from my thought that they will do it. It's more from the fact that, and I think I even said it last week, or maybe it was the week before, that this year I feel like it's anybody's year. Like, there's not that one team.
Yeah, exactly.
So so that was part of my reasoning behind that. But, yeah, you just brought up, and I don't know, we're not going to spend a lot of time on it, but there's definitely stuff that can be said with what happened to Michigan State and – some of the nonsense that has gone on with that. And I don't want to really dive into it, but I do feel that something at least needs to be said because, and now of course, I don't know every Michigan fan out there. And I say this about football. I say this about basketball. I say this about anything. That the larger your fan base is, you're always going to wind up having some idiots. So I know that there's some people out there who don't necessarily give Michigan the best reputation.
Right.
But I know that not all Michigan fans come in contact with those. And so when Michigan fans are throwing a hissy fit, or Michigan State fans, I'm sorry, I don't know if I said that. When Michigan State fans are throwing a hissy fit about anything being said to them, and about anything going on, they have got to be the thinnest skinned individuals that walk this planet, because they can dish it out all they want. And that's this is how my approach has been. Like, I've the major years that I have been a Michigan fan, like been in it, consumed in it, all about and everything, the major years that I have been in Michigan fan have been the bad years. It hasn't been good. And right. I wouldn't necessarily say I've gone around talking smack and everything. Like, there are certain people I'll talk to and everything like that. But it's just like, you know, I know where we're at, and it's just like I accept it and I stick with it, and I'm loyal and I'm waiting. But if you're going to sit there and you're going to do all the talking you want whenever you want because you guys did good, that's fine. But then when you're on the losing end of it and you feel like all of a sudden you're the victim, or I don't know if victim would be the right word, but it's unfair or something, or being unreasonable,
yeah,
you're just being pathetic. And I even put the tweet out there and everything. It's just like, during football season, if something goes wrong, you guys are like, wait until basketball season. If something goes wrong during basketball season, then you guys brag about football. When it happens, and I'm saying this because I know that some of them listen and everything, so congratulations, thanks for hanging out. Just eat your crow and shut up and go home.
Yeah,
because you can't complain about it. If you can dish it and you think that's completely fine, just shut up and go. Like, we're having fun with it, we're having a good time. Guess what? You've had a good time too. Deal with it and go.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And you know what? You and I have always said this, is you'll never find us ever. Let's take Ohio State, for example. You'll never see me trolling during a OSU win against Michigan, say last year, after the football game, talking about how much they suck at basketball.
Good point. Good point.
I'm not going to do it. In fact, I'm not trolling any Ohio State football after a football game when they beat us again. Am I going to troll them? Because why? Because right then and there, I'm like, there's no need to, because guess what? You won. We have to eat crow. We're going to have to live with it. And you know what? There's no need to do that. And yet, you're right. Here I am, beefing up on Michigan, and I'm getting MSU people pissed off at me because of the very fact is talking about football. And I'm like, you guys are just changing the narratives because you do well in football against us, and we're doing better in basketball. And yet they're trying so hard to flip it. But yet here we are, they get mad at us talking about the history. You know, you guys, all you talk about is history and the past history. And yet here they are going, well, how about your football team? I'm like, well, we're not even talking about football. We're in the dance, man. And you guys are still talking about football. It, like you said, it's just to watch it. Even Ohio State fan trolling me is just hilarious. I just sit there and go, man, you guys are out. Just swallow your crow and say, you know what? We're just going to have to wait till football season.
Yeah. Yeah, and no, that was very good to point out, because some people were just like, oh, yeah, well, what about your football program? Because that's your bigger program, and you guys are bad at that. And it's just like, turn around, and it's just like, basketball is your program. You guys say it every year. And
right.
Like, what it's you the, look at the
right.
the crap that you put out this year and how terrible it was. Well, some of the dumb things, though, it's just like I was saying, it's just so stupid, because some of the things, and I'm not going to really even go in and mention like who were saying these things, but even sports journalists and everything, like turning on the defensive side where it's just like, this is unnecessary. This is out of control. You know, these disputes and the things that fans say, and I'm not quoting it per se, but generalizing what they said, and no one on either side had anything to do with their team winning or losing. And, just garbage with that. And it's just like, but when you guys win, you guys have no problem saying it.
Right.
But then when the tables are turned, all of a sudden people aren't playing fair and being nice and thinking about your feelings.
Right.
So if you're a sensitive person and are sensitive with your feelings, first of all, you probably shouldn't be on social media, but definitely if you're pertaining to sports, stay off of social media.
Yeah.
Because that's just dumb. It's just that's what sports is. For over 100 years, sports have been around. Well, sports have been around, I mean, centuries, different kinds of sports. Yeah. So fans have always been going at each other. That was another thing that they were going on, like, oh, it's unnecessary, some of the stuff and different things like that. This has always been going on. There's nothing new with it. It's just the fact that you're on the opposite end of it.
Right. Right. Exactly. There's just no way in heck you and I are going to troll somebody whose team just, let's say Ohio State was winning and we lost. And I'm not going to troll them. Why would I do that? I'm not going to say much about that. I'll go, they're doing it. We didn't. And yeah, like you said, it's pretty unbelievable to watch this and read it. And, you know, I've had to block a few because they just get out of hand, you know, and they like to grab others. They're kind of like the walk up to a fight and then they call their relatives to come along because they can't really fight on their own.
Oh yeah.
So they tag other people to get in this fight. And I'm like, oh Lord, you guys are piece of work. So it's like high school. So yeah. Or you know what, a lot of them like to, like, they just looking for you to respond back, and when you don't, I say that probably drives them more nuts.
Oh yeah. Yeah, I saw some with a Houston fan or something like that where they were just like trying to draw people out. It's just like 99 out of 100 times that's just what they're looking for. They just want some kind of response and acknowledgement. So
well, and then when you get a Houston coach that says, you know, we're the better team, you know, and, you know, what do you say about that? It's just, well, yeah, you and I said they played better, but you didn't win. And
yeah,
the game's 40 minutes long, and you didn't play at the last second. You blew it there.
Yeah, so. That's one of those things where it's just like, we were the better team tonight, but you just didn't finish it. I mean, it's not one of those things where it's just like, we were the better team, and because of bad officiating, we got screwed.
Well, yeah, you're right. I'm like, you were the better team all game, but you weren't the better team for 3.7 seconds.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Yeah, talk to me after you play Ohio State in football, and then talk to me about bad games and officiating and screwing you out of a win. So anyways, that's that. The game, the official tip-off time, and of course it's probably going to change because it's a late time. And they always shift because of the games beforehand. But it's at 7:37 p.m. And so Michigan is ranked third, as everyone's probably well aware. And Texas A&M is coming in as the seventh seed. So,
yeah, going to have to stop them. They got, you know, they got a good team there. I think they got, like, three juniors on the team. So they experience. So,
yeah, let's do this real quick. Kind of curious and everything. Okay. Lost it. Okay. Who's going to win, Loyola, Illinois, or Nevada?
Oh, man. I'm going to say Nevada. I think they're on a streak. So
yeah, I think so, too. I think it's going to be tough for Loyola, holy crap, to keep going. So
yeah, what a cool story that is, man.
Yeah, that'd be cool if they did, though. Here's an interesting one. Kansas State, Kentucky.
Oh, yeah. That's an interesting one because the very fact is Kansas State is the one of those dark horse teams that I really didn't even think about, but they could win that. But you know what? Kentucky is winning their games. They won the SEC championship game. And remember, this Kentucky team, they're all freshmen, all of them. He's starting all freshmen, and they're incredibly talented freshmen, but they might be clicking at the right time, so I'm going to give it to Kentucky on that. So. Yeah. They're too big. They got really big guys.
Yeah, it's tough to say. I'd probably lean Kentucky on that one. I feel like that might be one of the closest ones, but, I mean, all these aren't really that easy to call, but Florida State plays Gonzaga.
Oh, man.
Gonzaga didn't play all that well.
I know. They didn't. I'm going to give it to Florida State. I think Gonzaga – you're right. Gonzaga didn't play very well. They struggled score. But, yeah, I'll give it to Florida State on that.
And so whoever wins that game is who Michigan will wind up playing. I think Gonzaga might do it, but I don't know. I mean, they're going to have to kind of be like Michigan and turn around their performance, because if they keep playing like they did, I don't think they'll be able to beat Florida State. Right. Clemson is playing Kansas.
Wow. This is the one. Remember, Clemson. If anybody even remotely, if you saw the score of the Clemson-Auburn game, you'd think it was a typo or something's wrong. It was like almost a 40-point game.
Yeah.
I ain't kidding you not. It was not even close. It was like the football team. scoring bunch of points. It's crazy. But Clemson and Kansas. You know what? Remember when I said I'm going to give it to Clemson. I told you Bill Self just disappoints me every year. Kansas seems to drop an egg in one of these games, but they're keeping these games a little bit too close. I'm going to give it to Clemson. They're playing really well.
Yeah, I'm going to give it to Clemson too, because I was saying if a number one was going to lose, it was going to be Kansas to 16 seed. I was wrong about that, but I think I don't think Clemson's going to destroy them like they did Auburn. But I agree with you where Kansas just always seems to find a way to lose. So West Virginia is playing Villanova.
Yeah, Villanova on that.
Yeah, I think so as well. Texas Tech is playing Purdue.
Wow. That's going to be a great game.
Yeah, that's a 2 and a 3. Purdue did lose their big man.
Yeah, Haas. He's out. So, Texas Tech's playing really well, man. For, you know, pretty amazing. So, I'm going to still give a little bit of edge to Purdue, but that'll be a really good game.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go Texas Tech, partially because of that injury, but I had them winning it in one of my brackets, so winning the whole thing. So we'll see how that goes. Now, the biggest spread, but one of the most unique matchups then for this last game here is 11 Syracuse and number 2 Duke.
Wow, yeah.
Two legendary coaches.
I think it's either Cincinnati or Syracuse. I'm not sure. I'm going to say one of those teams, Cincinnati's out, but I think Syracuse or Cincinnati, one of those teams got they're the biggest college basketball team as far as height. So I think they're the shortest guy is 6'6". I don't know if it's on Cincinnati or it's Syracuse, but I'm going to give it to Duke. So
yeah, I mean Syracuse barely snuck in.
Yeah.
If it was almost anybody else, I would think that they could get to the Elite Eight. But Duke is Duke, and they play pretty strong. So I think – and Syracuse has an extra game under their belt, so who knows how that's going to be affecting them. Didn't bother them in their last game, though, and they finished that one out. But
yeah.
So, yep, those are the games between Thursday and Friday. So should be fun, should be interesting. Michigan again, 7:37. Texas A&M, we'll finish there. I've already kept Craig longer than anticipated because Craig is still – we didn't record earlier this week because Craig wasn't feeling well. He's still kind of recovering, so I wanted to keep it shorter, and we're right around 50 minutes. But we will end there. If you guys want to get in contact with us, we're on Twitter at BlueBros_ and then Caleb or _Craig. If by email, it's bluebrotherssportscast@gmail.com. And then our fan favorite, which actually hasn't been used for a little while, but it's kind of like in the weird limbo stage of the year. But we do have the voicemail if you guys ever want to call and leave a message. That's 551-258-3276. Easy to remember. It's 551-BLUE-BRO. So, Craig, anything else here before we get going?
Nope. Just let's go get them. Let's win this game. It'll be great to see. So, thanks, everybody, for thinking about me and being sick. But, yeah, am I on the road to recovery?
Yeah. Yeah, you do good in keeping your Jell-O, okay, man?
Well.
All right. Well, yeah, so we hope you guys have fun, good weekend, enjoy the game. And if you're actually going to the game, we're definitely super jealous. But we're all excited here for what the basketball team is doing, and we'll finish things off with Go Blue.
Go Blue.